Everybody wake up.
Time to wake up. Time to start the day. Wake up late with Dougie. He is the only
wake
way.
Wake up late.
Now everybody.
Wake up late.
Everybody.
Wake up late.
Wake up.
It's late. Time to wake up.
Wake up late with Dougie. Wake up late with Dougie. Wake up late with Dougie.
It's time to wake up.
Wake up late with Dougie. What rhymes with Dougie? He's just so funny.
It's the Wake Up Late with Dougie show. Live from Danger Studios. Coral Springs, and now you know.
We're the hottest show in this place.
Wake up late.
Now everybody.
Wake up late.
Now everybody.
Wake up late.
Now everybody.
I said 1, 2, 3.
Everybody wake up.
Live from Danger Studios in Coral Springs, Florida. It's the Wake Up Late with Dougie show. Starring Dougie Almeida. Now. Let's start the show.
And welcome to the Wake Up Late with Dougie show. I'm Dougie Almeida, and it's Monday, January 8th of 2018. I'm here in the studios with Cyril Dobrik.
What's going on, everyone?
And Ethan Moore.
Happy Monday and Happy New Year, Dougie.
That's
good
right,
to be here.
Guys. Welcome back to the show. And if those of you follow me on Facebook, I know that I've been dealing with wheezing and coughing and the goddamn flu. Is everybody sick?
The goddamn flu. I'm slightly sick. I came back from California with a little something. Yeah.
Really?
Yeah.
Well, I think it's contagious.
I was on a plane, and before that it was like the dry air, you know?
Right.
And heat. We were in a cabin in Tahoe. And then when I got back, I had like sore throat for a few days. It seems to be clearing up now, but I still feel something in the back of my throat.
You didn't get, like Wednesday last week, when I'm at the Tavolino show, there was only two people, so we didn't have a show, but a little bit disappointing. God. But that always seems to happen when you do, like have a show the week right after New Year's.
Yeah, yeah.
It's usually not a good
time. People aren't up for it.
People are done partying, and they're done with all that shit.
They've made a resolution to not eat Italian food. Or
right.
Laugh.
We're done right. with it.
No laughing or Italian food.
No more fun. And it was a bad thing. So I'm sitting there and I was down, and all of a sudden it hit me like, oh my God, like tired, like I didn't feel good. And then Thursday morning I woke up like a truck hit me.
Yeah.
It was just the worst.
Yeah, that's bad. I didn't get that. I didn't knock me on my ass. I was still mobile. Mm. So what happened?
No, so I could blame it on those fucking kids on the plane that weren't, you know, you can tell when somebody's covering their mouth when they cough. We had this one kid crying the whole way, like the first hour and a half of my flight home from I think it was from Dallas, to Fort Lauderdale. This fucking kid
was crying.
And he was like 9 years old. He was crying like he was an infant, and he was a little spoiled little fucker. And he was, you know, and you could tell, and his dad, shush, shush. And then the kids, everybody
He's
was coughing. Everybody was coughing, and you can tell there was nobody. nobody was covering their mouth, you know. And they're only about two or three rows behind me, you know.
What the hell is going on in this country?
Parents, when you're on a plane, your kids are coughing. Put a bag over their head.
Yeah,
or Jesus,
push them out the window.
Or fucking open the emergency door.
We
get
don't
rid
have
of
our
them.
Personal pods by now. Come on,
we should.
It's a public flying thing. What a nuisance.
So yeah, so just felt like shit, dude. And my wife now sick too.
Oh no, yeah.
And then you know,
spreading.
So we went to the clinic. You know, I couldn't sleep. I'm a bit of a hypochondriac. You know, so I'm like, I'm trying to like, I don't know.
Is that
trying
a
to breathe? I'm like laying in bed, like, you
That's
know, and this wheezing
thing.
And shit. And I'm thinking, God, I'm like, dude, I got pneumonia. You know, and I'm freaking out. And you know.
It could happen to anybody.
Yeah. So Sunday we go to the clinic. She's got 101 temperature. I don't have a temperature. My lungs are clean. Everything's fine. She's getting Tamiflu. I'm getting some cough syrup. You know, and I feel good. Now I got to be ready for this week of shows. Right? Tuesday night at your place, 33rd Street Wine Bar.
Yeah, man. Finally, we've got Dougie Almeida headlining 33rd Street Wine Bar. I'm excited.
Did you have to twist Eric's arm for that? Did you have to, like,
it was tough.
Did other comics in South Florida go, hey, just because you're on Dougie's podcast doesn't mean you have to put that guy on a show?
No one said that, of course.
Yeah.
I did have to back Eric into a corner. I pushed him up against the wall, and I was like, Dougie's on the show, Eric.
Yeah.
No. We were going to get to you, man. It just Finally, I'm excited.
That's what happens.
It's going to be a good show too. We've got Jackie Sanchez, up and comer. She won the turkey contest at the Improv on Thanksgiving, and then of course Dan Long. 2 years in a row. That's right.
She's a turkey.
Wow.
Turkey comic.
And she got engaged to Terry Wayne.
And she got engaged. Goodness. I hope we'll be hearing about that.
He's not on the microphone show. I thought he's on.
He's not on the show. And then, of course, Dan Long, veteran comic.
Dan Long, Florida. Very funny guy. Yeah, it'll be fun. And that's Tuesday night. Then Wednesday night, like I said, we got a great show, an epic show at Wise Guys Comedy Show at Tavolino's. Myself, Julie Baez, and featuring Mike Kaplan.
Ooh.
And headliner Rich Voss, all for $10. If you haven't reserved your spot yet, listen. Unless you're going to go see Gandhi or the Second Coming of Christ on Wednesday, there's nowhere else you should be on Wednesday night.
Yeah.
And then, of course, our second edition of Goldfinger Comedy Club on Thursday. That will be exciting there. Nadeem Awad's hosting for us.
Nice.
And that's Goldfinger Comedy Club in Platinum Lounge over where Goldfinger Gentlemen's Club is, but it's separate from the strip club. Okay, guys? Guys or ladies, I should say. Don't get all like, I'm not going to go see titties. No, there's no strippers in there, okay? It's a separate room. It's an entertainment. Well, so is titties, but... It's a separate facility for entertainment. It's not the strip club.
So, Doug, you're telling me that Nadeem will be fully clothed?
Yes.
Well, he's
so hosting. If you're going there to see Nadeem naked, you're going to be disappointed.
I want my money back already.
exactly. So, you know what I mean? So,
action-packed week.
And we just announced we had about 12 people at the first show at Goldfinger last week. You know, again, I wasn't well. I couldn't go. And Brian Coronado filled in for me as a host.
Oh, okay.
I'd asked you to do something.
I think you hit me up at 7 a.m. and I woke up at noon and
snooze,
responded.
Lose,
yeah.
I feel bad when you send out. I'll do that. I'll just look. Here's the thing. Somebody said, this happened about a year ago. Somebody says, why would you reach out to me? I go, just the fact that I'm reaching out to you, dude, should be, you know.
I appreciated the reach out. I did.
It's not like I won't just send one person out and then wait for that person to respond. I like closure. You know what I mean?
Right.
I don't like loose ends.
No.
You know, right?
That's anxiety all day until you solve it.
Right. So then I figured, okay, and I sent out to Brian because Brian hosts for us at Tavolino's and stuff. And then he jumped on it. That kid, you know. He was the early bird.
Nice.
And he did. So we had like 12 people. So that wasn't, you know, a good way to start. The owner was like, hey, we got to bring more people in here. And we started brainstorming. And we thought, you know what? Why don't we have an open mic?
I like that.
And we're going to call it the Goldfinger Comedy Club Open Mic Series. Now, those of you listening for the first time, we're going to have our pro show at 8 o'clock, 8:15 more or less when it starts, which this week, again, is Nadeem's hosting. And our feature is Chris Topher.
Very funny
or
guy.
Chris Rowe, whatever the fuck his name he's going by. And
I think it's Chris Roll.
Oh, is it Roll?
No.
No.
Chris Rowe.
That is incorrect.
and then Lenny Travis is our headliner. That's it. $10 if you want to go to the show. But what I did was, listen, everybody says let's participate. How do I get guest spots on Tavolino? How do I get MC work? All right, well, it's all about participating, supporting, doing your job, being funny, all that stuff. And that's what we did. So we said, look, here we're going to do. We're going to have a sign-in at 7:45 on Thursday to 8. Somebody says, why don't you make it an hour? I'm like, because all you got to do is put your fucking name on a piece of paper. You know, it's like you got to go there and do jumping jacks and an obstacle course. It is a sign-in sheet.
You're assuming comics in South Florida know how to write their name.
Well, listen.
This could be a big ask.
I mean, if you can't,
yeah, all the good ones,
I can make an X.
All the good ones make stamps make of their mark. Names, and they move to Atlanta.
So it's that's why I figured 15-minute window, right? And of course, if you get
I
there
like
at 8:08, and there's only 8 people on there, there's still more room. But the idea is, we want you to go to the show and participate, be in the show. Somebody said, well, sometimes when that happens, they don't let the open micers in the room. No, we want you to be there. We want you in the for showroom, right? The club wants you to be there, be a part of this new show. You know, let's build this scene a little bit. Let's, you know, that so you guys, it's a welcome area, you know, and come and hang out,
it's
watch the show.
Safe space,
it's
if you
safe
will.
Space, exactly. Yeah. No one's gonna make fun of you. And
all open mic comics will receive a participation trophy.
That's right. You'll get a ribbon. You'll get a ribbon and everything. You get a pat on the back. And so she'll get to watch the show. And then right after the pro show ends, you know, Nadim's going to go up, and then we're going to host the open mic. It's not going to be no intermission. Let's just do it.
Okay.
All right. So those of you coming to the open
constant
mic,
comedy, you know,
this is another way. Somebody, how are you going to be judged? I'm getting the carriage before the horse. All right, so then we're going to have the open mic. Each open mic gets 5 minutes. We're going to do 10 to 15 open micers. That's
okay.
It. No more. All right? So after that, so everybody's going to do 5 minutes. The person with the best set of the evening will get a guest spot on next week's pro show.
Nice.
So at 8 o'clock show the next week at Goldfinger, you'll be doing a 5 to 7 minute guest spot, right? And then we're going to do that for about 10 weeks. And after 10 weeks, those 10 winners will compete in the Open Mic Series Challenge,
ooh,
where the winner of the top 10 will then win a host spot.
Well, there it is.
Right? Now you got a paid host spot, which is $50 at Goldfinger's.
See, and people say there's no path to success here in South Florida.
There's
comedy.
The experience you gain from a contest like this.
Yeah, and of course,
right.
And of course, yeah, we want you to come. We want you to bring people. And you're going to be judged not only by your talent, like first and foremost, how funny you are. That's the set's going to be judged.
Uh-huh. I'm writing this down, by the way.
Right. The second
funny.
Thing is going to be originality.
Okay.
Right.
How do you spell that?
Siri, take notes.
And the third thing will be how much of a draw you are. I'll give you an example. Let's say out of 10 people, there's 2 or 3 people that are pretty funny.
Uh-huh.
Right.
You gotta be able to draw.
Yeah. Not like pictures. I mean, like, you know, you got to use watercolors.
To draw your name at
the
beginning.
Yeah. You got to be able to, that's it. You got to write your fucking name down. No, but you got to, you know, to draw. Like, so let's say somebody's pretty, let's say there's 3 people pretty close in the contest.
Uh-huh.
Well, one person brought like 4 people to the pro show.
Right.
And I thought, okay, that'll be great. So that person will probably get a little edge.
It's not a bringer, but that's a little bonus.
It's a bonus. Yeah. Mm.
That's a tiebreaker.
Yeah. I mean, if you suck, if you eat a dick on stage,
right,
you bring 15 people, you're still not going to be
too
winning.
Bad.
Yeah. I mean, you know.
If you bring 20, though.
Yeah. Well, I'll buy you a drink. I might get you a friction dance then, okay? Now, I'm not going to be there this Thursday, because this Thursday I'm going to be at the farmer's table, Jen Hellman's room. Opening for Rich Voss, who's going to be there.
Nice.
So that's a show, you know, you can go see Rich with, I mean, would you rather see Rich with me opening for him, or would you rather see Rich with Mike Kaplan opening for him? I would suggest come Wednesday.
Sure.
You know, I don't want you to not come to my show, but I'm just saying, if you had to choose.
Right.
You could also come see Dougie for free at 33rd Street Weimar
tomorrow night. That's right. And I'll be doing 45 minutes for you.
Okay.
And the other show, I'm doing 20 to 25. So
yeah, that's right. You're doing a full set.
Right.
So.
I'm doing a full, you know, my full headline set. So, right. So there you go. And then
the options.
And then also for full promotion, guys, on Friday and Saturday, I'll be at the Comedy Inn in Miami with Rich Voss as well. So
nice.
A full week of shows. And let me ask you guys a question. Every once in a while, we talk about like the business of comedy, right? All right. So let me ask you guys what you thought. What would you do in this situation? Okay. You guys all know the comedian Tom Green.
Okay.
Yes, Canadian comedian,
right?
Tom Green.
Right.
Sure.
Kind of a loony kind of guy. He had
wacky.
MTV. Yeah, wacky. Yeah. And, you know, so I was going to be opening for him at Off the Hook Comedy Club.
Okay. Naples.
In Naples, like the 8th, the 20th, the 22nd, 25th, whatever it was, 23rd to the 27th or something like that.
All right.
Now, the owner, you know, Captain Brian gave me the date. He's like, it's yours.
Okay.
The only thing is we have to make sure he's not bringing his own feature, which hadn't been confirmed yet. Okay?
Oh, man.
So I'm like, all right, I'm in. I have it in my calendar. I'm not going to book anything else. Then I got a call on over the weekend from Kazi's Comedy Club in Newport News, Virginia, which I got the headline for the first time this summer. And they asked me, I guess they had a fallout. Mike Winslow fell out. So they asked me.
The guy from Police Academy.
Correct.
Did you ever think
with the sound effects
you'd be able to take over for Mike Winslow?
I know. Look at me. I'm a replacement
up.
For him, right?
That is so cool.
I know. I try not to think of it that way.
Sorry.
Right? So
I did. Fine. I'll do it.
So So now I'm sitting there going, okay, I'm offered a headline spot.
Right.
Now it's only 2 nights and it's 2 shows. So the pay is almost a little more than what the 4 nights would be going back and forth to Naples.
Okay.
But, you know, it's, you know, you guys understand, it's Naples would be Thursday through Sunday, you know, 5-6 shows. And this going there would be flying. I have to fly,
right.
Get a ticket and fly to Virginia And but I'm headlining. My name's on the marquee. I get to put that on my resume. You know, here's, you know, and this and that. So and it's a solid deal. Hey, you got it. You want it or not? This you take it. It's your gig. And meanwhile, the Tom Green gig is still tentative because I don't know yet, and I won't know until 2 more weeks.
Oh wow.
So, you know,
so you haven't committed?
No. I committed. I made the decision. Well, I'm gonna take the gig that's there, you know, with the better money. And
no, but I mean, you hadn't committed to the Tom Green thing. Not 100% because they're still up in the air.
I had committed. They couldn't confirm with me yet, just okay. In case he says he was going to bring his own person. You know, if they said, no, you're done, no matter what, you're featuring, then I would have kept that gig. I wouldn't have canceled it.
Right.
But because it was still, you know, tentative, I thought, you know what? But there was part of me that was like, hey, you know what? I don't want to fly in this time of year and I don't feel good. And B, the money's almost the same and it's less hassle and hectic. Plus, I've never worked with Tom Green. That'd be a good experience, blah, blah, blah. Yes, I work off the hook. I'm a regular there. You know, and I started thinking all these things in my head.
Like, yeah.
You know what I mean? But the one thing was, hey, I'm going to take a headline gig and it's a sure gig. I'd feel like shit if 2 weeks from now I find out that he's bringing his own person. Now I'm sitting there going, I'm going to watch a fucking movie on Saturday night.
You passed on something that was coming at you.
Right.
For no.
I passed for something sure, for something that was tentative, you know, and... You know, now if it was a feature spot somewhere else, I would have probably said, no, I'll hold out and wait and see if I can get this gig.
But right.
Would you have done the same thing?
That's tough because it's like, well, you know, you're sort of committing. But I feel like you have to, in this business, it seems like you have to wait until both sides commit before it's really done.
Right.
You know, so it's like if the other side isn't committing and you're committed, but and then you get someone that's definitely like, yeah, we want you right now and just agree. Yeah, if you're going to have to go for that.
Right. I mean, but you don't want to sit there.
It's a little tough.
It's off to Virginia for you, is what I'm saying.
Yeah, that's what I think so. Anyway, that's just one of the decisions I made.
To be honest, I'd rather fly to Virginia and be there for 2 nights than drive back and forth from here to Naples 4 nights in a row. Or
well, that was
it, four
that
shows.
That was true, too, because, you know, the features at Naples don't get a hotel.
Yeah.
Right? So then, like, so then I started doing also in my head. I'm like, okay, well, the money's a little less. It's more nights. But then if I count all the gas back and forth.
Oh, yeah.
Or if I get a hotel. You know what I mean? It's like, and then what? Then I started thinking, it's going to be great to work with Tom Green. It turns out to be an asshole to me. I'm like, this didn't pay off in any way. You know what I mean? So right. I was like, that's it. I'm taking the deal.
Yep.
I'm just doing it. So it's just weird how sometimes in comedy, in this business of comedy, you got to make decisions. And you know how I feel about decisions, Ciro. Decisions are what differentiate the successful from the welfare ridden.
Pretty much.
Oh. Really?
Right? I think decisions.
You know how I feel about decisions, right?
Right.
I'm bad at them.
Yeah. Do I keep my life clean or I do heroin? Well, listen. I mean, think about that. I mean, doesn't it all boil down to that? Doesn't it all boil down to the decisions?
Oh,
like
either straight or heroin every time.
Yeah. I saw this. It was. I've seen this clip go around. I put it on our fan page on Facebook. A Wake Up Late with Dougie show. Where Don Lemon is interviewing Morgan Freeman.
Mm-hmm.
And Don Lemon basically goes and says, you know, do you feel there's racism nowadays or is an equal whatever, this and that? And you think anybody could do whatever they want? You know, and he goes, absolutely. And Don Lemon's like, what do you mean? Like, you know, yeah. Like there's, and Don says, look at us. You know, the proof's in the pudding. You know, we're eating the pudding. We're eating. We're sitting here. And Don, you can tell Don didn't expect that. Don's like, nope. Well, you're basically saying like, just tough it out and shit. And I'm like, you know, I think
that's true in show business. That's definitely true in show business.
I think it's true in life. Like, listen, obviously, I have an advantage being born white than if I was being born black, right? Like this big thing about white privilege has been on Facebook all fucking week, okay? And I get it. You know, I get white privilege in that. You know, in comparison to being black, right?
Mm-hmm.
But to me, there isn't that much privilege. When you're white, it isn't a privilege. Because I can tell you that because, you know, there's, like, when I grew up in life, I didn't have a lot of shit. My parents had no money. My parents didn't help me with stuff. But I know I had it better than some, but I didn't have it as good as many others either. So
yeah.
The fact that we're going to point out the thing, you know, so this to me is a big bunch of shit. That it doesn't matter. We all are born on this earth, and then we all have to deal with whatever the fuck we're going to deal with to get where we need to be, right?
Mm-hmm.
The difference is the decisions that we make and how we get there and what we do with ourselves from it, right?
Well, if you make the decision to just be complacent with what you're living in, then yeah, that's kind of on you in the end. But, you know, if you want to, you have every opportunity to go further and do what you're supposed to do.
Yeah, I would think so. By the way, Facebook Live followers, I apologize. I don't know why the camera looks like we're filming it out of a fucking 1920 camera.
Hey, white privilege, Dougie. You know,
new installment of the
listen,
sauce.
If I had white privilege, I'd have a much better camera fucking working on that thing. By the way, hey, Sherry, what's up?
I think there's all kinds of different kinds of privilege. You know, I mean, I understand white privilege. It's like, yes, of course, like, race is a big factor in America, and it does benefit you. But on the other hand, two things I would say. One thing is that, like the family you come from, like how much money you grow up with. Like, there's lots of different kinds of privilege that we all have. Whiteness or race is just one of them. And it's like, why are we focusing on just this one? That's one thing I would say.
Right.
And then the other thing is like, what's weird about when people talk about privilege is it's like, well, when you grow up and when you experience the world, you just experience your own surroundings and whatever you have, like whatever you're bringing to the table. You know what I mean? It's not like someone hands you something and says, I'm giving you this because you're white. It's like you experience things as your own struggle,
right?
No matter where you come from, right? And it's like, mm-hmm. maybe things were harder for Morgan Freeman than for Matt Damon or something. I don't know. Maybe not. I don't even know.
As much as there's white privilege, there could be white hindrances.
There are.
You're talking
about penis size, right, Dougie?
No, it wasn't my topic. But for example, like...
That's what Don Lemon was expecting to say.
Don Lemon's like, I don't have a big dick, but, you know, and Morgan's like, sorry to hear that, son. But I manage people's money, right? Especially when I used to work in the banks. I had a lot of really rich clients, right?
Uh-huh.
And it would seem that the kids, a lot of times with rich families, the next generation of kids are fuck ups.
Yeah,
like they've been given so much, they have no character, they don't know what it's like to earn it, you know, and they all just become trust babies or whatever it is.
It's a common theme in,
you know what I mean? So
literature.
They don't develop a lot of things that somebody who didn't have the privileges will adapt in character and stuff. So
yeah,
so sometimes privilege isn't a good thing. Sometimes it screws you. Sometimes, you know, getting, you know.
Well, I'd love to be screwed that way.
Well, yeah. I wouldn't mind being screwed with a $10 million fucking trust account.
Yeah.
Just saying. Any rate.
Only if I was the only one that can get into it.
Well, the point is that show business isn't easy for anyone.
No.
I guess that's the point I would make.
Here's the thing. In this country, most of the people in this country, everybody's chasing the dream, right? And the problem is when somebody doesn't reach the dream, they become upset.
You look for something to blame.
Right. Now, either some people accept who
they
become.
I blame my whiteness.
Yeah. Listen, I can't.
That's why I haven't made it yet.
I could never be a 300-yard hurdler because I'm white and I'm only 5'9". you know, I mean, if I'm going to blame some. But you know what I mean? But that's the thing. Some people accept who they become. And other people never accept it. And then they make excuses for it and they do all kinds of shit. Any rate, you know, the Golden Globes are on this weekend, and you know, it's kind of funny because last year in the Golden Globes, all they did was just go after Trump, which, you know, was disgusting. Because listen, nobody in my mind, the most out of touch people on this earth are people that are actors.
Yeah,
you know what I mean. Most of the, and I'm not talking about like hardworking actors that work in street theaters. I'm talking about
porno actors.
No, they have gay porn. Those guys have it real hard.
Most of the street performers, though, are the ones you're talking about.
Street performers?
No.
The street gay porn actors?
Yeah, those guys. The catchers in the group. No, I don't, you know what I'm saying? Like, the Hollywood elites.
Uh-huh.
You know, when they come off and they're like, hey, I just can't stand it, you know, listening to these fucking people. You know, they don't know dick most of the time. You know what I mean? I mean, they don't have a grasp on reality, but...
Even if they do... Who is it? Why is it their place to tell us what to think?
Just, you know, say your fucking lines and shut up, you know? But it was interesting because...
Unless it's about Scientology, then tell me more.
Yeah, we need to hear more about that. but the Golden Globes this year, so they didn't really talk about that. Seth Meyer was the host, and I hardly saw him, which that was the best hosting job I've ever seen.
Yeah.
I can't stand Seth Meyer. I'm sorry. I mean... I used to like him on Saturday Night Live.
Oh, yeah. Doesn't he have like a late night talk show?
Yeah.
Okay. He's okay. I don't know.
He's,
I don't have strong feelings about him.
I don't. Yeah, I think he's horrible.
Ever since Letterman retired, I don't care about it lately.
Exactly. You know, I like Jimmy Kimmel. I like Jimmy Fallon. You know, and Stephen Colbert is just, you know, he's milking it while he can. But you know, I just can't watch this shit because it's always the same shit at night anyway. Mm-hmm. Right? We've talked about this many times. Now, but Oprah got a big award. Congratulations to Oprah.
She's a
humanitarian. She's a humanitarian. She's done a lot, this woman. Look at she does a
lot of cars.
Yeah, she's giving away cars. She opens schools in Africa. Doesn't she do that?
I don't know.
The number of free books her audiences have gotten.
Right.
I mean,
she's, you know, it's not like, she's done well. She's one of the richest women in the world, isn't she?
Yeah.
I think. And NBC had to delete a tweet because they had posted, like, it's good that we're getting respect to our next president.
Oprah?
So my question.
Really?
There was always talk about her. But here, that's my question. I want to finish here on this first segment was, do you think Oprah Winfrey would make a good president?
Me, for one, I think she sucks the devil's dick.
Really?
That's my personal.
Oprah?
Definitely for population control and things that are humanitarian.
I'm for population control. I think there's too many fucking assholes out there.
But I'm
just saying.
What, Zero? Really?
Yeah.
You hate Oprah?
She's one of the most supposedly, you know.
I don't know anything about an Oprah.
No.
I know she hosts a talk show. And she has a magazine.
She's a great actress. She was in several
movies.
Right.
She's
deemed as the Dalai Lama. Reese Witherspoon looked like she wanted to suck
Harvey
her cock.
Weinstein.
Yeah.
She covered for Harvey Weinstein.
Really?
She sent women to him.
Sarah has a whole conspiracy.
All right. Now this is obviously. Now you're obviously like that guy who wrote that book, Fire and Fury. Which is something I wanted to talk about today too. We'll probably say that tomorrow. But they had a photo. You know, here are these people that are so in the know and everything. And you, Pat, you had the video of that one guy that has his own blog,
right?
That came out and said, like, oh, well, while the Hollywood is so ready to boost this thing up and everything, meanwhile they turned the cheek. You know, how many people in Hollywood turned a cheek on Weinstein knowing what he did?
Right.
And everybody could say they didn't know what he did. Everybody knew.
They turned one cheek and he took the other one.
Yeah. Yeah. Exactly. So.
Biblical.
You don't think she'd be a good president?
No, she's racist.
She
sucks the devil's dick, and she's racist.
Yeah.
Hold on a second.
Wait a minute. Aren't we just making stuff up about people these days?
Oh, okay.
In that case, you're right. You're right. I did see her suck the devil's dick one time at a bus stop.
That was actually next time. Tomorrow on Oprah.
Yeah, that's right. She was sucking
the devil's dick.
Yeah, and that woman that her real lover, what's it, the girl who's on the morning show?
Yeah, Gail.
Gail.
It's women who love the devil's dick too much.
Yeah, Oprah.
She has, what's that guy that her husband, but that's not
Stedman?
Really, yeah.
Boy,
that's
guy.
Not a real thing.
That guy Stedman looked really weird, didn't he? Did if you watch this, she spoke for like 6 hours. When she gave her speech,
uh-huh.
And it was just like, okay, you know, this is just
6 hours.
And she was talking about women getting emboldened, which is, you know, it's nice, you know, with all the shit that women put up with guys.
Sure.
But you know what I mean? I get the not me thing or hot or
me too.
Me too. Not me is my hashtag.
Right.
Because I never raped or groped anyone. So hashtag not me. But, you know.
On purpose.
Well, at least you get back to third grade with that truth or dare and stuff. But we don't count that. We were kids. You know what I mean? But this hashtag, what is it? Hashtag?
Hashtag me too.
Me too.
Me too.
You know, okay. You know, guys are creeps. We get it. You know? And that happened. And then
some guys.
And every woman down there was saying, right, that's my point. Look, not every fucking guy is a creepy fuck.
No, just
and then all of a sudden, Kevin Spacey. Just Kevin Spacey, Dustin Hoffman, Weinstein.
Bill Cosby.
The guy who was on The 70s Show.
Louis C.K.
Louis C.K.
Right.
I mean, have we called them all
out
yet? Brett Ratner. Are we called them all out? Like, because it's good. I'm glad that this happened because now. Okay.
Charlie Rose.
Now, here's the thing you always worried about because of this happening. You always
Jesus.
Franken.
No, slow down. Now, you know, I'm looking for lightning. No wonder our video isn't working well.
Malcolm X.
Yeah, and you know, they said Martin Luther King was a womanizer.
He was.
He was. I don't know about the orgies. I think that's not true, but.
No, I heard that too, that he had many.
That's a.
But look, world leaders, people of power do that, like Benjamin Franklin, Thomas Jefferson. Those guys were all smoking opium and banging whores.
definitely Benjamin Franklin was. He was hanging out in Paris.
Where else are you going to get that creative, right? Unless you let your dick think for itself for a few days.
Yeah, you got to have. That's what they say. Whores are the mother of invention.
Yeah, I got. Oh my God, I did that joke in Reno, and in between the feature and the headliner, I did the hashtag not me. I never raped anybody. People are clapping. I'm like, and I did the joke. I'm like, well, guys, you know, there's no reason why any guy in this room should ever have any woman force any woman into sex. There's no reason why any guy should ever force any nice woman into sex when there's so many whores out there. And this woman just goes, oh my God, like, and I go, well, we guess you're not a whore then.
Right.
So listen, there's a place for everybody. Like I said, either you're going to be a professional football player or you're going to clean the cleats.
Those are the two options. That's it, ladies and gentlemen.
That's it.
There's nothing in the middle.
Look, well, you're going to suck. You're going to suck.
No gray area.
Satan's cock needs sucking.
You're either going to be sucking on Satan's cock or kissing Oprah's ass.
Or getting raped by Satan.
That's one
either
of the
way.
Two.
Either way.
Anyway, this is the Wake Up Late with Dougie show. We just opened the show with Ciro Doper.
Hey there.
Ethan Moore.
Yo.
And when we come back, we're going to have Straight from the Headlines. Where we tap stories from around the world and we make fun of them.
Let's do it.
Let's do it. We'll be right back with that.
Hey, this is Steve Marshall, and you're listening to the Wake Up Late with Dougie show. And if there's anybody who likes to wake up late, it's me. Yeah, welcome back to the Wake Up Late with Dougie show.
And now, for your dining and dancing pleasure, some international and domestic news you may or may not believe. It's Straight from the Headlines with Dougie Almeida.
And welcome back to the Wake Up Late with Dougie show, and it's time for Straight from the Headlines, where we talk about things from around the world and make fun of it.
Yes.
Or make fun of them. Sorry.
This segment is brought to you by the devil's dick.
That's right. Always in Oprah's mouth.
And Hormel.
What?
yeah.
Horn hell.
And dingy wings. Here's a story. Ashes of woman's father stolen from porch, from the front porch of an Arizona home, and a reward is offered.
Hmm.
Been some guy stealing.
I heard that's a good business.
The guy thinks he's getting something worth valuable. You know, it's an Amazon box or something. And the guy's thinking he's gotten something that's, wow, I got something great. Look at this, you know.
Oh, it was in a box. It was in like a delivery box.
Mm-hmm.
It wasn't just like on the porch. I imagined like it being like unswept ashes on the porch. And somebody's gathering them up.
Spontaneously combusted not even an hour ago.
Oh, so someone sent. So someone was.
He was
like,
alive
oh my God.
When we delivered him.
Right. So someone's like, oh my God, this is a new iPhone.
Yeah.
I'll take it. And it's your dead father and his ashes.
Wow. Here we go. All right. So here's a story. A $10,000 reward is being offered to. By postal service after, I don't know, they had $10,000 to reward anybody. they get that fucking money. After someone stole a package containing a man's ashes from the doorstep of his daughter's home in Arizona. Elise Brink told the Tucson News her neighbor saw the package on her porch Tuesday, but when she arrived home, it was gone. She searched the area, including a nearby trash cans, to no avail. Brink had planned to trip to California to bring the ashes to her brother. This was the final step in the process of me saying goodbye to my dad and making the arrangements and sending him home. Now he's probably in somebody's bong. Or ashtray. The package.
That's one way to stop human trafficking. You know what I mean?
The package should not have been left on the porch without a signature, the Oklahoma City funeral home told the news. Yeah, because the funeral home doesn't want to take responsibility for that one. Yeah.
Well, that's macabre.
Officials with the U.S. Postal Inspection Service said they launched a probe since the package should not have been left on the porch without someone signing for it.
What a bastard. Steal her. I hope he haunts him.
Yeah, I hope the $10,000 reward comes out of that postal driver's money or pension.
I was thinking just the person. Is it a postal driver who did it?
Well, the postal driver wasn't supposed to leave it.
Yeah.
But they're so fucking you know, whoever's delivering the mail to our house is a fucking asshole because, you know, they keep driving onto our grass. And
I hope they're listening, by the way.
They leave off.
They'll never get mail again.
Well, don't bring me the mail.
Scene from Funny Farm.
Yeah. Oh, yeah, yeah.
Fucking guy.
Classic.
Great movie, right? Stay with, what's his name?
Chevy Chase. Chevy Chase.
Chevy Chase.
I don't remember the driver, guys, but that guy was old funny.
Right? The guy would, yeah. I vaguely remember that movie. It would come screaming down the fucking road.
Childhood right? memory for me. Yeah. Watching that movie. Yeah. Mm. But that whoever stole them, just that's terrible.
Well, you don't know how much money now, dead people's ashes go for.
You know, right. Who's going to bring them back? Like, you know what I mean? They're going to, look what I got. They're opening it up, and it's like.
Right. <You know? laughs> Yeah, I'm sorry. I hope that guy gets haunted.
Yeah, it'd be funny. You know, now the guy, the ghost should be hanging around with them. The girl's going to say, my father used to watch TV late at night, so the person who stole the package is going to hear their TV playing. It's going to be Johnny Carson and fucking Ed Sullivan
they
shows.
They hear the theme for Magnum P.I. Da-dun-dun-dun.
Just fun. I mean, you know. Well, we hope that you find your dad.
Thoughts and prayers.
Right. Thoughts and prayers. Here's a cool story. 100-foot-long joint is a big hit in Massachusetts Podfest.
Yeah, bro.
100-foot joint.
100-foot.
Now that's not a the big size F of the joint. Session if I've ever seen one. 100-footer.
Yeah, there's a lot of talk about that, what he did, you know, and I read a little more about it, and all he really did was take away Obama's ruling, which was where the executive branch was actually putting legislation together. And that he had to remove it because it doesn't exist, shouldn't exist in the books. The legislative branch writes the law, not the executive branch. And it's a much ado about nothing kind of thing. I'm trying to find out more and more about it. But it seems like we as the public, we hear something, the news tells us something, we're like, oh my God, there, I can't believe this fucking shit's going on. And you realize it doesn't make a difference. It's not going to slow down or impede it. Well, you know what I mean?
He was the only one that I wasn't sure about.
I hate Jeff Sessions.
Trump thing.
Fucking hate that guy.
Yeah,
man.
He looks a little, you know.
Oh, I hate him so much.
I mean, why would you say no good people smoke marijuana?
Yeah.
I mean, even if that were true.
Oh, he said that?
Yeah.
What an idiot. I think he's sucking the devil's coffee.
I heard about him and Oprah had a double date with the devil. And
I feel like all the Trump voters should be feeling regret when they read this story. Because this is bullshit, man. You got this guy interfering in states' rights.
Listen,
I smoked a bowl and I feel nothing.
Yeah, whether it's legal or not ain't going to make a damn of a difference to me.
I think that Congress is going to act because I think Congress is going to say, all right, well, we're going to go ahead and like restrict the authority of the Justice Department.
Well,
to do
it really
that.
Just
I
depends.
Hope so.
If they're really going after the opioid crisis, if that's really what they're going to do, then they're going to have to lay off the marijuana. You know what I mean?
Literally. I think that'd be good. I think we should stop arresting people for opiates too. I just like all drugs to be legal. So
no, I disagree. I see too many fucking hoople heads out there that are pill poppers. I could deal with a pothead because I've been there and you know they're but a pill head the pill heads lie and potheads don't lie. They're too stupid to lie.
Yeah, but think about
you know
it.
I mean, they're not deceptive.
But
if
pills were legal, they'd cost like 4 cents a pill. You wouldn't need to lie.
No. Then we got to scrape people off the floor just like...
I'm fine with that, man.
That's crowd control.
I'm really fine with that.
Yeah. 100-foot-long joint is a big hit in Massachusetts Potfest. On Saturday, a group of smokers at the Harvest Coop, or Cup, a marijuana festival in Worcester, managing to make a joint that was the equivalent of one-third of a football field.
My God. How much pot do you think that is?
Was it a big fatty or was it like a pinner joint?
It was a pinner.
Yeah, fucking
one micron thick.
Was it mostly paper? I mean,
it was like watching a dynamite fuse go off.
It's a nanotube of marijuana.
Shit, it was oregano. You
it's
bastards.
Pretty much impossible to roll a 100-foot bone by throwing paper out there and trying to just roll it, Lamont told the paper. But when we get sections and teams of people.
Right.
Then we'll be able to do it. So you get a bunch of people rolling their own joints.
I see.
It's like taking straws and putting them together and making this one crazy straw.
Is less cool.
Yeah.
I was picturing
1,000 people together rolling a joint.
Right, like a barn raising, you know? Like an Amish barn raising.
And by the way, if it's that long, it's got to be hard to hit.
No one's hitting that.
You can't.
This is a stunt. This is a waste of weed.
It is a stupid idea. Well, the only potheads with the same thing. We're gonna build the biggest joint that we can't smoke.
It's, you know, it is.
Even my dog's impressed about that story.
Oh, my God.
Fucking the longest
mass joint. Mass holes.
I want the. That's like I want. I wish I had a 14-foot cock, and then you couldn't. No. Right. What are you gonna fuck a blue
whale?
You never
have sex again. Yeah, exactly. Your life is ruined.
Exactly.
It's like the monkey's paw. You know, your wish is granted, and then it's like everything you didn't want.
Yeah, it's just people don't know what the fuck they're doing anymore. I'm telling you,
it's a great story.
It is.
Monkey's paw.
Woman run over.
By
I'm still sick.
100-pound joint. Jesus Christ!
When it fell off the table, right after the meatball. A woman run over with her own car while trying to escape cat attack.
I hear this story every once in a while, the ran over with your own car story. Right. And I never quite, I guess it happens often enough to be reported.
Well,
this is not the first time.
They're on the brake and they don't know they're not in park. They're trying to get out.
You open the door, you fall out, you fall under.
Well, we had a story where this guy got out of the car, was road rage. He was mad at the guy behind him.
Uh-huh.
And he got out of the car. And he started yelling. Meanwhile, the car was backing. He left it in like neutral
right.
or something. And it ran into him and crushed him. I mean, that was funny.
I feel like this happens more in like hilly areas.
Well, yeah, what happened in Florida?
Yeah, in Florida, you're not really.
What about on Spook Hill, where it goes, where you look like you're going up, but you're actually going down?
What's that?
Yeah,
is this another conspiracy?
That's where Oprah sucks the devil's dick.
Spook Hill.
The Florida.
No, somebody's going to call me racist for saying that. A woman run over with her own car while trying to escape cat attack, trooper says.
I didn't think that through.
cat attack. It was Florida, West Cocoa, Florida. A woman said a cat jumped into her car and attacked her, and she was trying to escape the feline's fury. She was run over by her own vehicle as it rolled in reverse, according to the officials.
That cat's name? Flocka.
Yeah. The woman said she had left her car parked in the grass in front of a house on Magnolia Avenue in the West Cocoa on Friday evening. She was preparing to drive off when the cat pounced into the car and attacked her.
Oh, my God.
In an attempt to escape the cat's claws, the woman got out of the vehicle, forgetting that it was in reverse. It's very unusual to have an animal leap into a car and bite somebody unless you're a real fucking asshole. And you fucking did something to that cat that pissed him off, right? The cat probably is pissed. The lady probably ran over his fucking friend the week before.
Well, I feel like a cat wouldn't care if he ran over his friend.
No.
They don't care about anything.
That's true.
Keep walking.
The car rolled into the street and did strike a parked vehicle as well. Trooper said the car rolled over the woman, leaving her with critical injuries.
Jeez.
I guess you should have just taken the cat scratches, you stupid bitch. Trooper said the car rolled over the woman. A video from the scene showed the woman on a stretcher as the first responders put her on a helicopter where the cat tried to jump back on and eat her again. No, I can't fuck. No, Sherry, I didn't get my dog Chewy toy yet.
So that's true, though. The household domesticated cats do not kill us only because they're too small to kill us.
Oh, they would if they could?
If they could.
Interesting.
Right?
They would. Prey on us.
This doesn't surprise me.
Well, they have those stories when these old ladies die with all those cats.
Uh-huh.
That once they see that she's dead, they start eating them.
Sure.
They start eating the lady.
Delicious.
Yeah. Yeah.
Then they gain her power.
That's a fancy feast. I don't know.
Good one. I like it.
Meow, 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 meow.
All right. Here's a story. American tourists' naked feces throwing rampage through Thailand airport after he overdoses on Viagra.
I love this one.
Right?
Oh, my God.
Right? Hits
it
home.
It has everything.
Some guy goes to Thailand.
It has everything.
Some guy goes to Thailand to bang some little boys.
Uh-huh.
Right?
I resent that as a frequent traveler to that part of the world.
Well, that are just young girls.
Oh, okay. Well, you know.
That you never know.
No. Come on. There's lots of reasons to go to Thailand. Culture. Young boys.
Muay Thai.
There's many reasons.
Yeah,
I can't think of any reasons right now, but Muay Thai.
Nak Su Khao.
Yeah.
To be the white warrior.
That's right, for blood sport. American tourist Steve Cho, 27, in New York, overdosed on Viagra before stripping in an airport. He was arrested in Phuket.
Phuket, yeah.
After throwing his feces at the staff.
Wow.
I guess if you're in Thailand, all those monkeys you learn after a while. Cho underwent psychiatric tests and claimed he had taken too many sex drugs. That's what usually leads to throwing shit.
Yeah. That is on the box, actually.
Phuket has some of the wildest strip clubs. What is it?
It's on the box of Viagra.
Oh, it's the Surgeon General's warning there, yeah.
If you have a hard-on after 4 hours, consult a physician. If you're throwing shit after six, put yourself in a cage, Momo.
Make sure you're in Thailand. Make sure you're in Thailand.
That's nuts.
See, that's that Thai Viagra. That's what
that is. Yeah.
It's tied to a stick, right?
Exactly. I've been to Phuket and wild strip clubs.
Yeah,
I would say about it.
Yeah,
craziest
animals, all kinds of stuff going on. Live sex shows.
I've seen a live sex show there. Yeah.
Yeah.
I didn't see any animals, but no, I did see. I saw a woman in a strip club. She had a bird fly out of her pussy.
Really?
Yeah, that was pretty insane.
Wow.
I was not expecting that. I did not ask for it. It just happened right in front of me.
I went to a strip club here.
What's that?
I went to a strip club here in Pompano where that woman would shoot ping pong balls
out of
her.
I've seen that.
Right?
Yeah, of course. That's the classic. But I was not expecting a bird to be behind the ping pong
ball. I remember the Philippines?
I haven't been to Philippines.
Oh. What's that like bird egg stuff? Like that's like, you know what I'm talking
about? I know what you're talking about. I can't remember what it's called, but.
Talk about a twist
on that. Like 1,000-year-old egg or whatever that you bury.
We'll talk about a twist on that.
And you eat it, and it comes up?
Yeah. Well, I don't know. If somebody who knows what the Philippines eat, that's like
let us know.
A zygoted bird egg thing.
Yeah. I'm going to remember the name of it. Balut. Anyway. It's called a balut or something.
Yes.
A balut?
Yes.
Balut. Balut?
Yeah.
Hmm.
That was a live
sounds
balut
like you get something to get a Panera bread.
I will never eat balut again.
27-year-old from New York who underwent psychiatric assessment. Following his arrest, is said to have told police he had taken too many sex drugs, including Viagra, before the incident, which saw him throw his own excrement at terrified travelers. Onlooker Wani Ming, 28, said, "This was the scariest shit I ever saw and the most disgusting thing I ever saw in an airport. I stayed away from the man in case he attacked anybody." The airport staff tried to make him calm down. They were talking to him, but he ignored them. It was very bad. The airport did a good job.
He's too busy throwing his own shit.
Yeah, well, that's typical. You know what I mean? They never throw it at the people that are into it. Always the terrified ones. You know?
The officers brought him to the walkway on the north side of the terminal to avoid other passengers and managed to calm him down and the tourist center, first floor. When he regained his composure, he admitted that he took too many Viagra pills.
That's hilarious, by the way. That's why sometimes I'm like, man, America's just too strict. Because in America, that guy would have been tasered and shot and everything. And they're just like, well, he's having a rough day.
Yeah, poor guy.
Let's take him to the corner
different
and let him calm down.
Different places have different custom checks.
That's true.
Yeah.
I know. America's the worst, man. I've been all over the world, and they're way nicer in all the other countries. Holy shit. Yeah.
Yeah.
Anyway. Thai people are cool.
Thai people are great.
Yeah.
You know what movie I saw? I forgot. When I was in Reno, I saw the movie Downsizing.
Didn't see it. With
Matt, what the hell's his name?
McConaughey?
No, with
Matt Damon.
Matt Damon. And there was an Asian chick in there that's going to win. She's going to get the Supporting Actress Award. She was great. Hmm. Here's a great story. It was like a volcano. Granddad's testicle exploded after contracting African salmonella. On a dream holiday in Tunisia. Now, if your dream holiday is Tunisia, you deserve for your balls to be exploding.
Wow.
Right?
Well, you know, that's how my grandpa went.
Yeah.
So it's...
what a way to go. African salmonella?
African testicle explosion, yeah.
Oh, my God.
Yeah. A man's testicle exploded like a volcano after he got a rare disease on a holiday. David Worsley, 59, caught African salmonella, a strain of infection... which has confined to his genital area in Tunisia. The granddad was in agony as his private swelled 10 times their normal size. When he got home, the left testicle then burst as he had a bath, and he is now taking legal action against the tour operator.
Oh, my God. Doctor, I have this lesion. Where? Tunisia. Okay.
The granddad was in agony as his private swelled 10 times the normal size when he got home. The left testicle then burst when he had the bath. He said, he was told I had a rare form of salmonella called African salmonella.
What? That sounds fake.
Just not even.
Yeah.
After the holiday, my testicle had swollen to the size of a grapefruit, and it was heavy It was like it was made of glass.
Oh my God!
It's like that Debbie Carey song. I got a ball of glass.
Heart of glass.
Yeah, still thing, and my balls are fine. Oh, stand back. You're going to go blind. doctors banned David from sleeping with his wife during the ordeal. The 59... that was the one good thing.
You're banned.
I have to sleep with my ugly fucking wife. The 59-year-old was holidaying in Raoul Marco Polo Hotel in Hammamet in Tunisia. He goes, the pain was so bad, I thought I was going to die.
No shit.
Marco.
Oh, my God.
When it finally exploded, I felt fantastic.
What? Oh, because, yeah, just the release pressure of the pressure.
The doctor said I was highly contagious and that I wasn't allowed to sleep with my wife. I was walking around holding them all the time. It was so heavy. A few days later, I woke up about 5 a.m., the most excruciating pain in my left testicle. I could barely move, and I was in tears from agony. David from Bolton, London, England, I should say, said I literally went bang. It literally went bang. When the doctor saw it later, that it was like a volcano exploding, but it was so much relief, and I had felt so bad.
So it was hot?
Yeah.
Next story. I'm having a hard time listening to this, actually. My balls hurt in sympathy.
Yeah.
My left oh my one God. Has grown
that is terrifying.
One time.
Everything in that story was awful.
Yeah. By the way, guys,
to hear about some more people getting hit by cars and ashes,
if that's really
relatives burning up. Or
that's funny. All right, here's a story. He reeked of alcohol and peed all over the plane.
Yeah,
but that's not what got him arrested. Police say
it was his balls; they were swollen.
I didn't mind his piss everywhere, but when his balls exploded. That was the end of it. I had to get off that plane.
This is a combination of those last three stories. Yeah. He started throwing shit. Viagra, his balls exploded.
Took too many Viagras and his balls filled up.
Dante Bensavenga apparently had a few too many while waiting for his Spirit Airlines flight. The 58-year-old man nodded off in a chair by the gate around 9 p.m. Thursday night at the Southwest Florida International Airport in Fort Myers.
Yeah.
Things went
down. A matter of time.
Things went downhill from there. Once he woke up, according to police report provided by the Lee County Port Authority Police, a gate agent walked by the dozing Bensavenga and smelled alcohol.
Hmm.
The Fort Myers resident made it onto the aircraft headed to Michigan. Once on board, officers say the gate agent received a call from the flight attendant that the passenger had urinated all over the plane's toilet and the floor as well. After missing his mark, Bensavenga was asked to disembark from the plane, which was still at the gate. He reportedly became belligerent, cursing as he left.
Oh, so
they haven't even taken off.
He hadn't taken off yet. He's just pissing all over the.
Yeah,
I was picturing they're midair and then they kind of pitch forward and then the urine just rolls down into first class.
you hit some turbulence. You know, it's one thing. You're in the bathroom, you hit some turbulence.
The only thing that surprised me about this story is that it took so long for Dante to get caught pissing on all over things.
Mm-hmm.
You know, he's been doing that since he was a kid. Urban legend about Dante.
Let's see.
Dante, the author of Inferno?
The pisser.
Let's see. After airport police were summoned, Spirit Airlines supervisor Stephen Gary Harris met the officers and praised them of the situation. That's when Bensavenga tried to break up the conversation and told Harris, "Stop telling lies." According to the police report, an officer who attempted to get the story from the man himself smelled a strong odor of alcohol beverage coming from him, which is odd if you just pissed all over yourself. After threatening to file a complaint against Spirit, Bensavenga denied he was inebriated and offered to take a breathalyzer. The officer denied his request and informed the traveler that he was rebooked on a flight the next day. That's when he became more agitated, began raising his voice and yelling at agents, the police report said. Since there was no more flights for the day, he was asked to leave the concourse or he would be arrested. After more ranting, police said he put the bracelets on me, and the officer complied. And Bensavenga was charged with trespassing, disorderly intoxication, and peeing on a plane.
Jesus Christ.
It's a new movie coming out with Samuel L. Jackson.
Piss on a plane?
That's nuts.
I love that too, where they're like, "All right, sir, you know, I'm not going to breathalyze you. Yeah. Go home.
Just go home. Take it easy.
Sleep it off. It's yeah. fine. You'll be back tomorrow. You get on."
Fuck
and he's
that.
Like, "Fuck you. Cuff me.
I don't want my pussy.
Suck my cock,
pig.
Come here. Give me your shoe. I'm peeing you."
That's nuts, man. Some people, that's what I'm saying. People in another place.
There's, you know, those stories never end with he claimed he was inebriated. He claimed he was not inebriated. Asked to take a breathalyzer, the cop denied, and he listened to reason. That's never the end. Sounds like a good argument, officer. I'll go home now. That's never the end of the story.
Not reality.
We don't read about those, I guess.
Now I know you guys aren't big football fans.
Oh yeah.
Yeah. I mean, you're if you have a
fantasy.
Okay.
Play fantasy.
And you don't
lost.
Really, you don't.
I lost.
You're a Bills fan.
I'm a Bills fan.
Yeah, they had it, but at least they made it to the playoffs.
17 years it took us, and we had to give $357,000 to.
But you know
Dalton.
What? When you think about it, Buffalo Bills, especially in the 80s, you guys had it rough. I mean, you guys made it to the Super Bowl and lost every time.
Four years in a row.
I remember that.
Remember that?
I was growing up, and I remember people talking
about it.
They
kept fucking losing.
We were so awesome on our half of the football.
Yeah, they just couldn't win it. It's one thing to never get there, but it's a whole other thing when you get there and you just can't win it.
Four times in a row.
Right? But nobody is as bad as the Cleveland Browns, who now the Cleveland Browns have their own, they had their own 0-16 fucking parade. Could you imagine not winning a fucking game all season? I mean,
they didn't win at all.
They didn't win. I played on a soccer team once, like in Coral Springs. I don't know. It was like fucking 9 or whatever it was, where we lost every game. It was Poogie Pools. I can still remember the fucking team.
Right.
And the weird part about it was, this is my first year I played soccer. I think I was 6 or 6, whatever you are. Best lawns and gardens. We won every game. We won first place. And the second year I played, we lost it. Like, we didn't win a fucking game. Like, I thought to myself, this isn't crazy. This isn't good.
The first year, you're like, soccer's easy.
Yeah, this is
the
nothing.
The second year, you're like, God doesn't exist.
Yeah. Everybody else sucks.
I'm a god. No, I'm not.
I mean, Cleveland, I posted something on Facebook earlier this season about that. Like, there should be a new TV series, The Biggest Loser. You know, Miami Dolphins fans and Chicago Browns fans spend a day in a house together, you know, or a week in a house. But at least we won some games. But at any rate, hey, it's cool here. We had great cool weather.
Yeah.
But you know what? It's hot as fuck in Australia.
It's hot in like California too and stuff. It's like only cool on the east side of the U.S.
Why? Yeah. What happened?
I don't know. It's weird.
Bomb cyclone.
It's a weird weather this year.
Yeah. Well,
Australia's getting it too.
It got so hot that they call them wolf bat. I don't know what they're like bats.
Tasmanian
they
devil?
Fell they fucking cooked in the sky.
Oh my god!
Like they fell out of the air, and it got so hot.
Wombat.
That, yeah,
is it wombat?
They call them something else. They're wolves or something. Oh. What the fuck?
He was trying to tell us what are they called?
Yeah,
what are they called?
Yeah, spit it out. Also, meanwhile, in Australia, part of a highway is literally melting.
Oh my god!
Now, that's a fucking rough country. I mean, people always tell you, you know what I mean?
Don't.
Like you're trying to drive on the road, and it's one thing I don't have tires for this. You know, think about this.
Oh yeah, your tires would melt too if the road is melting.
They would probably before, right?
Just turn into taffy.
Everything is melting.
For those who have been in the grips of winter weather buffeting in Northeast U.S. etc., and Nova Scotia suffering from the throes of bitter winds and whipping snow, there might be some solace knowing that somewhere in the world, warmth still exists.
Too much warmth.
Police in Victoria on the country's southeast warned motorists Friday to expect delays to avoid the right-hand lane, because it's more like pudding now. There is a 10-kilometer stretch of road that is melting. Spokesman for the department told the news media that the lofty temperatures hitting the region upwards of 100 degrees Fahrenheit and climbing have combined with heavy traffic to reactivate key ingredient of the road surface, rendering a sticky, muddy places. So,
wow.
This happened back in 2013. BBC cited that 3 instances of young millennial roads in UK reportedly melted as well. I mean, I've been on a blacktop, and I remember in school where it was so fucking hot, where you're sitting there on the blacktop and you can start peeling away the side of the blacktop.
Yeah.
It's like giving away, it looks like Rice Krispie treats.
Yeah, in Florida, we know this stuff.
Yeah. It can happen. It can get fucking hot, man.
I don't know what's going on out there. They had that hole in the ozone layer for a while, didn't they, in Australia?
Well,
I heard it grew back.
I just heard a response.
They stopped using hairspray.
Ciro, this presumes a spherical Earth, so I know you might.
Yeah, you might not believe this. But they say that the ozone layer is reattaching. Yeah. It's getting better somehow.
I heard that too.
And this whole, this global warming thing.
Thanks, Trump.
Yeah, he's done a great job, dude. He's ready to fix the fucking.
1 year in, he's already solved all this stuff.
All this shit's going on, man. I'm telling you, it's a miracle. Anyway, that's all we have time for here on the Wake Up Late with Dougie show.
That was fun.
I want to thank Ciro Dover for joining us today.
Thank you guys very much.
And,
Appreciate it.
Ethan Moore.
Thank you.
Don't forget, tomorrow night, 33rd Street Wine Bar. I'll be your headliner. And Wednesday night, Wise Guys Comedy Show. Rich Voss, myself, Mike Kaplan, Julie Baez. Thursday, Goldfinger Comedy Club. Go out there to Goldfinger Gentlemen's Club on University Drive. Open mic starts around 9:30. Pro start starts at 8:00. And Comedy Inn Friday and Saturday night, I'll be with Rich Voss as well. For more dates for me, go to DougieAlmeida.com. Follow me on Twitter and on Instagram at Dougie Dangerous. Follow the show at Twitter at Wake Up Dougie. Ciro?
Check me out at Ciro Comic.
Ethan?
You can follow me on Twitter at Ethan Is Not Funny.
There you go, guys. Thanks for listening. And tomorrow, I think, Elgin David and Peter Leonard will be in the studios. We'll probably get Rich Voss in the studio as well with Mike Kaplan this week. So stay tuned for that. Hopefully our cameras and Facebook will get their shit straight when it comes to our camera situation. And for those of you guys who did stick around, not many of you at all on Facebook Live after watching that shit. Anyway, thanks for listening, guys, and God bless. Take care. We'll see you right here at the same spot.
People on Earth, can you hear me? Came a voice from the sky on a magical night. And in the colors of a thousand sunsets, they travel to the world on a silvery light. The people of the earth stood waiting, watching as the ships came one by one. Setting fire to the sky as they landed, carrying to the world children of the sun. Children of the sun. All at once came a sound from inside. Thick beam of light hit the ground. Everyone felt the sound of their heartbeat. Every man, every woman, every child. They passed the limits of imagination to the door, to the world of another time. And on the journey of a thousand lifetimes, with the children of the sun, they started to climb.